All right. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this fine summer morning? Good. I like to hear such things like that. Hope you guys have been enjoying this rhythm series. I know I have. It's been really good for me. It's been really encouraging to me. And hey, baby girl. Oh, that's so sweet. My daughter in the back was waving to me. That is so sweet. Hey, you got to enjoy that, because I don't know if you know this, but at some point, they're not going to do that. If you have little kids, they're not going to acknowledge you in public. So make sure you just enjoy that when you can. Mwah, acknowledge it. Love you, baby girl. And so here's the thing. These rhythms that we've been talking about, they're really ancient rhythms. They're practices that people have had for centuries that open themselves up to God, to open themselves up to living more like God in their world, and their practices like studying the scripture, like prayer and worship, and they become these catalysts for doing life God's way, and our faith is increased, and our inner life is formed, and it's great, great stuff. And listen, that's no small thing, because as you well know, we have a lower nature to contend with, don't we? We've got a lower nature in all of us that likes to rear its ugly head from time to time. And usually, and you know that you have this, usually what that lower nature wants from us is it wants to look good. It wants to be right. And it wants to be in control. Has anybody ever felt like this in their life? It's okay, maybe it's just me. Oh, a couple of you, yay, thank you. Yeah, and that's a big deal, right? I joke, but it's a big deal because that's not the life that calls us to. As a matter of fact, it's contrary to the life that calls us to, that God calls us to. And so I guess what I want to say to us is we don't have to live like that. We don't have to live that way. And I love that these spiritual rhythms help us cultivate such a rich inner life that we can then live from there. And live differently, live God's way. And so, I guess I like this series. That's all I wanted you to know. Okay, so let's jump in. That's where we're at this morning. Let's jump in. So I have a friend. His name is Donnie Henshaw. He's a pastor. He's actually a friend's pastor now. And he's been around some of these circles. Some of you may know him. And he tells this story. It's a really funny story about something that happened to him when he was a teenager. And so he was in downtown Denver, and him and some of his buddies are hanging out, and they're people watching, and they're just kind of, you know, window shopping and things like that. And they're at this really busy intersection downtown, and they take note of this really sweet car. It's this older car, but it's in great shape. And what really piques their interest or grabs their attention, of course, it's the car, but it's also the fact that there's this very small elderly lady driving the car, you know? And so then they begin to have these conversations. Man, I wish that was my grandma. You know those types of things about how cool the car is and things like that. And so they're watching and they're kind of laughing and they're like, oh man, that'd be great. Yeah, da-da-da, I wonder if she'd give us a ride in that car, da-da-da. And all of a sudden, they start to notice that there's smoke coming from the engine. And before they can really react or before they can do anything, they notice from across the street, there's this other young gentleman, and he's running across the street to help this lady out. And he runs up to the car, and he knocks on the window, and he's pointing to the hood. There's smoke coming out of it. And he says, ma'am, you got to get out. You got to get out. Something's wrong. And she locks the door. So now here's the thing. In her defense, this is in the 90s, right? And back in the 90s, there was this really neat new invention called carjacking. Okay, do you guys remember that? Okay, well, it's a big thing, and it happens now. And if you don't know what carjacking is, it was all over the news, especially when it was new. But it's this idea that you could be, I don't know, in downtown Denver at a light, you know, minding your own business, and somebody could come up to your car, open the door, pull you out of it, and take your car. So I'm sure that's what's going through this lady's mind, right? She's like, not today, son. You know, she's locked her door, and the guy is trying to open the door, and he's trying to explain to her, no, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And it wasn't until little flames began to come out of the roof of the hood of her car that she relented and unlocked the door, and he was able to help her out and help her over to the side of the street and get her to safety. This is what's interesting to me. That lady could not see that man as anything other than her carjacker. But you know what the reality was? He was her rescuer. She couldn't see him any other way, at least in that moment, than as somebody who wanted to do her harm, wanted to hijack her life, wanted to jump in, but it made no difference because the reality or the greater truth was this. He was there to rescue her. Now, why do I tell you that story this morning? I tell you that story this morning because I get the privilege of talking about the rhythm of confession. Dun, dun, dun. And I know that when you walked in this morning and you looked at that worship flyer and you saw that today's rhythm was confession, you were like, yes, I can't wait, right? No, I'm sure that wasn't your reaction. I doubt any of you were like looking down at your friends, be like, hey, confession, it's going to be good, Bob. You know, no, nobody said that to each other. I get it. You know how I know that? Because I literally sat down in our preaching team, and one of the people on the preaching team had been on vacation. They'd been gone for a while. And they go, hey, Jay, what are you speaking on? What's your rhythm for this Sunday? I go, oh, it's confession. And literally he did this. Ooh. Like he just made a face. And he's like, ooh, ah, I'm so sorry about that. And I get it. Because the truth is if we're honest, confession, I don't know, can make people feel bad, right? I mean, confession can sometimes take a person to a place of shame. Confession can sometimes make you feel like you never measure up. So sometimes this idea of confession can put you in a vulnerable position for somebody to take advantage of your weakness. And none of that sounds good to me either. I get that. Jennifer tells me stories sometimes about when she was younger, like second and third grade, of having to go to confession. And she had to kind of write this list and this long list of all the things that she had done in second and third grade to offend God. And it was usually like serious stuff, like punch your brother and like crazy stuff, you know what I mean? And so she'd write this list, and then she would go to this person who she didn't know. And it was very intimidating, but she would take her list and then she would begin to divulge all these things that she did right. She just remembered how fearful it was. Just remember how embarrassed it would make her feel, how ashamed it kind of made her feel when she would do that. And she was afraid of the punishment. She was afraid of what might actually have to happen, that she might have to pay penance for these things that she had done. And here's what I want to say. If that's been your experience, and that's what you think of when I talk about confession this morning, I just need you to know, not only am I super sorry about that, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. That's not even close to the experience that I'm talking about this morning. God wants to lift burdens from you, not dump more on you, okay? God wants to take them off you. He's not here to dump more on you. And so if you feel that or you sense that or anything that brings that in your life, you got to know that's not from the Lord. The confession literally is this active engaging with God's grace and God's mercy. It's there for you. It's there for me. We got to reach out. Because here's the deal. Because of these reasons and many, many more, I'm sure, we can have a tendency to see confession as a carjacker instead of the provision of God it's actually intended to be, instead of the rescue it actually is, instead of the rescuer it actually is. Does that make sense? So I urge you this morning just to lean in, just to keep an open mind, all right, an open heart. As I beg you this morning to really cultivate a rhythm of confession in your life, because here's the thing. I'm not going to encourage you to do this so that you can beat yourself up. I don't want to talk about encouragement so you can be like, yeah, I made a mistake again. Gosh, you know what I mean? That's not it. You know what I want from you? I want you to be able to put yourself regularly in a position to engage with God's grace and mercy. I want you to be able to be willing, to be open enough to say, listen, I'm going to put myself in a place, yes, it's vulnerable, yes, it doesn't always feel good, but you know what it connects me to? God's grace and mercy. And here's the thing, I don't just want it for you. Listen up. I got terrible news for you. It's not all about you. Because here's why. Because once this happens and this rhythm forms in your life of grace and mercy, guess what? You are then supposed to be a conduit of that grace and mercy to others. Uh-oh. Does that sound right to you? Because that sounds right to me. Let's pray. We'll jump in. God, thank you so, 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 so much for your word. God, will you help us to understand your word and your ways this morning? But God, please, please don't leave us there. Give us the courage to live those ways out as we go from here. So God, may what we do in here this morning, may it impact our lives and our living and fill the streets out there this week. In Jesus' name, and if you agree, say amen. Amen. Good, good. Okay, look, so if I'm honest, when I think of confession, I think of being busted, okay? So my stepbrother growing up, hey, it was one thing he used to tell me all the time, you're busted, bud. I'm going to tell Dad, you're busted. But, I mean, no matter what it was, you know what I mean? Of course, I might have did that to him a time or two as well. But you're busted. And I think of this idea of those all the cop shows that we watch, you know what I mean? Where the police, they capture the criminal, and all they want him to do, all they want to do is get the bad guy to confess or to sign a confession. Did you notice what I said? To get that bad guy to sign the confession. Of course, we have kind of a negative kind of connotation with confession. However, there's a significant part of confession that I think it's worth mentioning this morning, and it has to do with the confession of truth, all right? It has to do with this other definition, this other part of confession that's this. It means to declare faith in, to declare adherence to give evidence of. See, that sounds good to me. That doesn't sound all bad to me. To declare faith in. There is something inside me that is truth, and I have to get it out. I have to live it out. I have to witness to it. I've got to confess it to the world. Like, consider scriptures like this. Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, that sounds good to me. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. Sounds like a positive thing to me. 1 John 4:15, God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God. That sounds like great news. It doesn't sound like bad news at all. I just want us to remember today, or at least consider that this idea that when we are talking about confession, it has much to do with the truth, declaring faith in and declaring that we're adhering to something that's bigger and greater than ourselves, just as much as it does have to do with an admission of guilt of missing God's best. They're connected, you know, and we like to separate them and say, oh no, it's just about this, but it really is both. And I guess no matter how you slice it, confession is truth-telling. It really is just simply that. It's truth-telling. It's deep, gut-wrenching, God-honest truth-telling, whether you like it or not. And it allows you to move forward in truth instead of in the lies that we tell ourselves or the lies that we tell other people. So here's a couple of things I want you to know about confession. It's this. It's basically the regular rhythm of sharing our sins and our weaknesses and our failures with God and a trusted friend. It's the regular rhythm of doing that. And yeah, I know that's hard to believe. I said a trusted friend. Scripture is pretty clear about this. We're not alone in this. James 5:16 says this, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We're in this together. There's something about the act of confessing to one another and faithfully that engages God's grace in such a way that models for us in such a way that we're like, oh yeah, God needs to be involved in this. It moves us into the light as he is in the light. And when we confess to a trusted friend in the Lord and together, here's the thing, together you take that to the cross, right? You got to understand that. So it's like if somebody has confessed something to you or said, listen, I'm not doing what I feel like God's calling me to do, that is not for you then to take and put on your shoulders, okay? That is not for you to say, oh, that's for me. I'm a super Christian. I got this. No, together you take that to the cross. We've been singing about it all morning. Together you do that. And here's the thing. There's actually a lot at stake for your willingness to confess regularly. Here's why. Because if you are afraid or you are unwilling to acknowledge your humanity regularly, you're going to be unable to face humanity in other people. You're going to be unable or you're going to be unwilling or it's going to be very difficult and hard for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? If you're not regularly confessing and acknowledging, hey man, there's a level of depravity to me that I need God to do his working in my life and change me from the inside out. Well, if you're not regularly doing that and you keep bumping into other people that have no idea what you're talking about, that are super far from God and are doing life their own way, you're not going to be able to stand it in them. You're not going to be able to recognize it in them. And you're not going to be able to be the sign that you're supposed to be to say, this way to God, there's another path. There's another way. You catch what I'm saying? This rhythm is important. This has everything to do with your relationship with God, but it also has everything to do with who you are, like your place in the world, your impact of the people around you. You gotta find your people, is what I'm saying. Jennifer has some people right? She has about four or five ladies that are in this little text group. And they may not text for a long time, but when something happens, when somebody falls short, when somebody is in need of something, they just text. They text and they share, and they share what they need to share. And you know what's very interesting? Do you know the texts that come back? I can tell you what, they're not like this. Oh my goodness, Jennifer, you stink. Try again. Okay? That's not what she gets back. Do you know what she gets back? She gets more confession, right? Not confession of where they've missed it, but confession of God's truth. Oh, girl, you need to claim scripture. Mm-mm-mm. You know what I mean? And they start typing and firing the word of God back at her and saying, yes, that's true, but there's a truth that's greater still. Here's the confession. Come on, girl, let's pray about this. Let's do this. You need to find your people. You need to find your people. I have some dudes in my life that I can do that with, and I'm super grateful. As a matter of fact, this spring I was hanging out with a few good dudes, which I think would make a great movie title. But a few good dudes, and it was great. We were meeting regularly in our soul care group, and we did not meet to confess. The point was to acknowledge God's activity in our life and to pray for each other, and so that we could be the best husbands, father, and friends that we could be, right? That was the point. That's where we met. But you know what ended up happening when we were together every morning, or that in the mornings? We usually would confess. We confessed God's activity in our life. Hey, man, I can't believe it, but I feel like God's doing a work. I feel like he's redeeming this part of me, and I've actually been a decent husband this week, and only God, you know what I mean? And these types of things, and we celebrate that together. And then the conversation will shift, and I'll say, there's something in my character. I kind of missed it this week as a husband, as a father, and a friend, and it doesn't line up to what Jesus says is like how I'm supposed to do life. So will you pray for me? Will you help me to try again and reengage in a different way? You have to find your people. You must find your people. And yes, maybe that was a shameless plug for soul care groups that start in the fall. What are you going to do about it? I just did it. Like, I mean, seriously, guys. Yeah, maybe that's a shameless plug for Rooted that starts here in a couple of weeks, okay? Okay, I'm just telling you. What? Oh, look, Rooted. I heard some signs for Rooted over there. Yeah, I love that. Oh, Christian, thank you, man. Thank you. Pump for Christian, for Rooted. It's a big deal. Those are great opportunities to begin to practice these things that we're talking about. Okay, a couple more things about confession. Confession is essential to us becoming more like Christ and ultimately doing life his way. The more we practice confession, we begin to see for what it truly is, and that's an opening, an invitation to God's grace and his mercy. And the more we engage and re-engage in confession, we experience God's grace, his forgiveness, and ultimately his healing. Now that's a mouthful. All of that is a lot, so let me say it like this, and this is the point, this is what I hope you walk away with, it's this. Confession reveals where you are on the path to being like Jesus, and it reorients your life. It reorients your heart to do life God's way. Confession reveals where you are on the path of being like Jesus, and reorients your heart to do life God's way. Because here's the thing, if you said yes to Jesus, you're on a different path. If you said yes to Jesus, you may be on a different path than some of your family members or your coworkers or your friends. But the path is pretty clear. It's to become more and more like Jesus for the sake of others. And here's what you have to understand. This path is no different than any other path that you walk in this life. And here's what I mean. Your direction will determine your destination. Whoa, I just blew everyone's mind, didn't I? You're like, what? No way. Yes, when you are on a path and you set in a direction, that is what's going to determine where you end up, period. Does that make sense? Not your intentions, okay? Here's what I'm trying to say. Maybe we could all hopefully agree with this. No matter how badly I want to go to San Diego, I cannot get there by taking the 5 north, okay? Does that make sense? I'm going to get somewhere, but it's not San Diego, right? And I know that sounds kind of funny or whatever, but here's the thing. It's obvious probably in the realm of geography, but here's the thing. When it comes to things in our life, it's not always so obvious to us. But as simplistic as it may sound, what's true geographically is actually true physically. It's actually true relationally, and it's most certainly true spiritually. Your direction will determine your destination. At least that's what Andy Stanley says. And he also says this. Wait, I skipped something. Blah, blah, blah. That was a quote by Andy Stanley. Want to make sure you know that. Going back to this, then now, that brings us back to confession. Because remember, confession reveals where we are on the path to being like Jesus. How does it do that? Well, it helps us to become more aware of hard attitudes, words, and actions that aren't lining up with Jesus in his path. And that's a big thing. Because, yeah, we can just go on, get on autopilot, and we can live our lives, and we think, oh, no, I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty sure I did this yesterday, so I'm going to do it again today. And so awareness is a big thing. It's a great start. But when you are going the wrong direction, there is only one thing. There is only one thing that you can do, and that's make a direction change. That's the only thing that's going to help you change direction, is to make a direction change. Andy Stanley says it like this: choosing the right path begins with submission, not information. All that we do in life, we want it to reflect that we live a life surrendered to Christ. And so if we are so self-willed, if we are about our ideas, our plans, our ways, and we're not open to the wise counsel of others or God's introspection upon our lives, how in the world can there be any room for the living Christ? The answer is there can't. There can't be. Because confession reveals where you are on the path to being like Jesus, and it reorients your heart to do life God's way. And it's really interesting. This idea of reorient means to change the focus or direction of. It means to acknowledge, to find one's position again in relationship to one's surroundings. To find your position again, to figure it out again. This is where I'm supposed to be going. So here's the thing. So what if we don't? What if we don't confess? What's the big deal? Right? What if we've been in a habit of not confessing? Things have seemed to really work out for us okay so far. And there may be some truth to that. But ultimately, if we refuse to confess, it's pretty simple what will happen. Sin will take over. Sin will take over your life. It'll take over your heart attitudes. And it will cause you to have heart attitudes, words, and actions that are opposite of God's intent for you. That's just how it is. You know, you said, hey, listen, I set out with the intention of going to San Diego. Hey, what's that Sacramento sign? I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. It's just the way it is. To not confess is to not do what's right, except for maybe what's in our own eyes. And the scriptures warn us about it, doing what's right in our own eyes. And when I hear that phrase, you know what I think of? I think of how easily we justify. How easily we justify the words, actions, our hard attitudes. We say, well, I would, but they won't, so. Well, I said that to them, but I mean, they haven't come, and they're always saying this to me, right? This kind of quid pro quo kind of thing. Well, I did that. Here's the thing. Do you know what happens when you justify and when you hide from your sin? This is really what's happening. It's like sitting in your car, stuck in your justifications, watching smoke rise from your engine, and somehow convincing yourself that it's safer to stay inside a burning car instead of opening the door to the rescuer. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make any sense. Do you see what's at stake? Do you see how important it is for you to have this, how important it is for us to find this regular rhythm of confession? It makes a big deal. When we don't do that, it's like we stiff-arm God. So Jaden, when he was a little baby, when he was younger, he talked very early, which was always really weird to me. But you know what I mean? He's like a baby, but he's like, hello, Father. You know, it's just really weird. But he was just very verbal, and he hasn't stopped talking since, I don't believe, which that's okay. I love it. It's all right. So when he was little, and I would be gone. Well, first of all, he would do this thing all the time, no matter where we were. Hold you. That's what he would say to me when he wanted me to hold him. He would say, hold you. I remember when we first moved out to Haviland, we were in the Pizza Hut, and I went up to the front to pay, and he was on the other side of the restaurant. And you know what he did? He stood up on the table and goes, Dad, hold you. You know what the whole restaurant? Aww. And of course, I was like, oh my goodness. You know, it was great. It was sweet. It touched my heart. And so, but here's the thing. Especially when I was in youth ministry, I had to leave a lot. I was gone on mission trips a lot. I was gone in summer camps and meetings and different things like that. And when I would come home, it was very interesting. He would say, hold you. So I'd lift him up and I'd hold him. But then he'd start to do this. And he pushed me with both of his hands. And so I thought he wanted down. But then he'd hold on to my shirt. And he'd be like, no, I don't want down. I just want to stiff arm you a little bit. I just want you to know I don't like it when you're gone. I want you to know that I love you. And I do want you close. But I also don't want to feel like I miss you. Isn't that interesting? At just a young age, he's expressing that. Guys, we do the same thing. When we stiff-arm God, when we refuse to confess and to draw near to him, it's like we're just stiff-arming God. We're saying, we love you, kinda. We know you love us, kinda. But we stiff-arm him. We stiff-arm God. Listen, confession reveals where you are on the path to being like Jesus. Where are you? Are you stuck? Are you turned around? Are you off course? And it reorients your heart to doing life God's way. Because it's our rescue. It's our rescue for the God, the one that created us and wants what's best for us. Confession helps us to have a change of heart. That means literally to change our minds. Right? That our motives, our values, our aspirations, our plans, they line up with his. But that means we can't seek our own personal agenda. Or I don't want to say we can't. I want to say that too often that's what we're seeking. Our own personal agenda. That gets in the way. And maybe that's the real reason why confession can feel like such an emotional hijacking sometimes. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing. When I drive my car, I drive it where this guy wants to go, unless Jennifer's in the car with me. But then we go wherever she wants to go. But when I'm driving my car, I go where I want to go. I go fast. I go slow. I take a left. I take a right. Hey, I don't know. Am I going to just stop at this yellow light, or am I going to punch it? We know what I'm going to do, so don't judge, okay? So here's the thing. You know what, Californians? I don't even think so. Listen, let me tell you something. You Californians. So listen, when I started driving here, I don't know about this, but green lights here do not mean go. Do you know what green lights here mean? It means look both ways for the two or three cars that are just going to come through the intersection, even though you're like, I mean, am I right or am I right? It is crazy stuff. When I taught my son to drive here, he's like, green means go. And I'm like, oh, hold on, partner. No, it doesn't. Not in California. Green does not mean go. It means take a look again to the left or to the right because they're coming. They're coming. I don't know what the point of that story was, but anyways, the point is this. Oh yeah, we like to drive our own cars. We like to do it our way. And you know what confession is? Confession is literally saying, Jesus, take the wheel. And don't think if I couldn't sing, I'd be singing that right now. If I could, if I trusted you guys not to judge me, I'd be like, Jesus, take the wheel. I'd just be like, ugh, that's how horrible it would be. And don't think, I've never been in my car and had that song, Jesus, take the wheel, come on, and just tears just rolling down my face like, you sing it, Carrie. Ugh, you know what I mean? Hey, this is confession, all right? It's happening, okay? It's happened to me a couple times. But Jesus gets to drive, right? Jesus gets to say, hey, it's time to wait. We're going to slow down a little bit here. Hey, listen, I know you really want to go right, but just for a little while, can we take a left? I have something for you. And that's different. That's different. So how do we do this, right? How do we do this? Okay, well, I just want to offer something to you as a next step. I think there's just powerful prayer in Scripture found in Psalms 139 that I really think can help us. That I really think can help us practice. And it says this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now listen, this is an audacious prayer. Praying this prayer is like worse than praying for patience. You know what I mean? You know, come on, if you haven't learned that, we'll talk to you about that. You don't never pray for patience. No, I'm sorry, I'm joking. Please don't do that. Because if you pray for it, you're going to have the opportunity to practice it. To me, this is like one of those, this is one of those kinds of prayers. Search me, God. Hold on a second. Search me, God. Check my browser history, God. Search me. Hey, listen, already at the beginning of this, are you noticing the experience is already different than what Jennifer experienced as a child? Right? Jennifer had to come with her list and she had to try to remember every little thing, but this is already different. No, no, God, you search me. No, God, you know what? You point out the things that you want to talk about, that you want to take, because here's the thing. All the 15 things may really just have to do with one. And so, God, you speak to me about that. You change that in my life. Let's do this together. This confession thing is already different than what we were talking about at the beginning. Already. And know my heart? God, don't you just want to know some of the good things I've done? Not my heart, though. I mean, there's some dark places in there. If you were to look into my heart, you would know how I really felt about so-and-so. If you were to look into my heart, you would know how I really feel about myself sometimes. Test me? Are you crazy? You don't pray that. Test me? See how I measure up to your standards, God? Hey, it's fine if we're talking about my standards. I grade on a pretty generous curve. But stand up to God's standards? You want to test me? You want to pray that? Are you sure? And know my anxious thoughts. God, know those places in my life where I say, you got this, God, but in my heart of hearts, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can trust you with this thing. So I'm just going to worry about it. See if there's any offensive way in me. Are you serious? Are you sure you want to pray that? God, that list is too long. God, that list is too ugly. Who in their right mind would pray something like this? What's the point? Oh, there it is, the last line. Lead me in the way everlasting. God, I want you to do all these things because I don't want to do life my way. I want to do life your way. And I know if my heart won't line up, I'm not going to line up. And here's the thing. He knows, the psalmist knows that his desire is to ultimately be in heaven one day, but I think he's clear that the path begins right now. It begins right here on this earth right now. So here's what I want to do. I just want to close and give us an opportunity to practice this thing called confession. And my hope is this, is one that it'll help you take a right first step and that you'll see that it's maybe not what you thought it was before. And I just want to offer you something that's really simple. And so if you're not sure where to start, start here. Start with Psalm 139. And I encourage you to pray it every night before you go to bed this week. And I encourage you to read it, to pray, to listen, to confess. And here's what I really invite you to do. Let your rescuer in. Will you let your rescuer in? So if you guys will bow your heads, we'll close in prayer. And I'm just going to read line by line. I'm going to give you a couple of moments just to pray silently after I read each line. Let's pray. God's Search me, God, and know my heart. God, test me and know my anxious thoughts. God, see if there is any offensive ways in me. God, will you please lead us in the way everlasting? God, I just ask that you help us the ultimate prayer of confession. God, please help me. God, please help us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.